Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Farmington Hills, Michigan, and fell in love with performing arts as a teenager. He spent 21 years in New York, working in a wide variety of positions for New York performance organizations and for touring productions. 4 years ago, he returned to Detroit as the president and artistic director of the Music Hall Center for Performing Arts. His goal is to make the Music Hall the theater of the people. His name, the impresario, Vince Paul. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with the president and artistic director of the Music Hall Center for Performing Arts, the impresario Vince Paul. Vince, welcome, an honor to have you.
Why, thanks so much for having me. It's really great to be here. It's really interesting.
You grew up in Farmington Hills. Talk to us about your mom and your dad and what it was like in your childhood.
Well, I actually was born here in a little clinic called St. Martin's Clinic. It's not there anymore. It was attached to the Henry Ford Hospital right here on West Grand Boulevard. And I grew up on Steele Avenue, like right up by Grand River. Not very far from Hittsville, for that matter, until I was 8 years old. And then we moved to Farmington Hills, which you can imagine was a very big difference from from where I came. I remember sidewalks, and all the houses were really close together, and I moved to a place that was literally called Farmington, and I remember asking my parents, are there farms? And at that time, you know, it was, there were farms out there, and I remember even a neighbor had horses, and our street wasn't paved. But it was a big house, and I had a bike, and you know, it was such a change of environment that proved to be, you know, pretty important component in my life. I'm not sure that when I was on Steele, I was really thinking about going to a university and really going out into the world. You know, Detroit was all encompassing. You know, what lied beyond 8 Mile, for example, was an absolute mystery. And so to find myself living out in Farmington Hills, that was a big change that I grew very accustomed to, and I loved very much. You know, I think when I first came in, I told you that I was taking my kids sledding just a couple days ago, and they were sledding on the same hill that I was when I was a kid, except now it's all built up and kind of official, and they have walk paths, and they have hay bales, and you know, if you wanted to go ice skating, you went to the frozen over pond and you walked there with your snow shovel and you put your ice skates on and you shoveled that pond and you went ice skating. And anyway, it is a beautiful place. It's just so built up now that it's amazing to see the sort of suburban growth.
Vince Paul, how did you fall in love with the arts and performing?
My mother, she loved the arts, and when I was a kid, whenever there was one of those Fred Astaire musicals, Ginger Rogers, Gene Kelly, Frank Sinatra, Dino, Jerry Lewis, whenever those musicals were on, we used to cozy up on the couch and watch them. And she took dance classes, and my sister, you know, she took dance classes. And I remember sitting in those dance classes, and I think that I wanted to take those dance classes more than my sister did. But I, at the time, it was like, well, that wasn't really appropriate, and so she enrolled me in baseball and other sporting events. And I was definitely in a lot of sports when I was a kid. But, you know, as my mother reflects, she's like, geez, I wish I I had gone ahead and enrolled you in those dance classes, because your sister really didn't like them, and I know you did. But it's not something that she thought was appropriate. And anyway, after a lifetime now of doing performing arts, that was one of the things that I hope to achieve, is to make the make performing arts available to everybody. And it's really okay, you know, if your son wants to take a ballet class or a tap class or singing lessons. You know, we talk about Detroit's, you know, affinity for sports. I know that we've talked about that. Well, Michigan has a profound relationship with performing arts, and I hope to use the Music Hall and as a vehicle to really make, you know, performing arts cool and very accessible to everybody.
Tell us how the movie Somewhere in Time changed your life.
When I was 15, I used to love to go to the boat show in downtown Detroit. And my father, he did like PR for some of the manufacturers. And so he had a suite. And we would go down to Cobo Hall. And one of the vendors there was the famous Ryba's Fudge. And my father became friendly with Mr. Ryba and said, well, you know, my son and daughter would love to work on Mackinac Island this summer. And he gave me a job. And so I went up at 15 years old to work in one of the bike rentals. But I got distracted by this posting, hey, extras wanted in the Summer in Time movie that's shooting. And I went and I auditioned. And I got just a small foreground extra role that ended up lasting about 2 weeks. And it just, my eyes opened up. You know, I was such a Michigan kid. You know, we didn't really travel that much. Maybe Canada, you know, but really, I don't really remember leaving Michigan that often. And I just saw these movie stars and all the cameras and all of the technicians, and it just made my eyes just wide, like, wow, there's a big world out there. And you can see me in that movie. I'm kind of all over it in those, back in those 1914 scenes. I think that was 1914, 1920, something like that. So that was really my first paycheck ever. It came from Universal Studios shooting Somewhere in Time.
We're talking to Vince Paul. When we come back, we'll ask him about how it was he got to the Big Apple. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Vince Paul, who's a world-class salesman for Detroit and its entertainment district. Vince, how was it you got to the Big Apple?
Well, dating back to watching all of those movies, I think when I was a kid and I was seeing Fred Astaire dance the Continental and all these exotic places around the world, I knew that I really wanted to see the world. So I went to Michigan State University. And what's interesting about Michigan State University at that time was I remember the recruiter coming to high school. And I was considering all these different universities like you do when you're in high school. And the recruiter said to me, if you're interested in theater, we are building a world-class performing arts center at Michigan State University. And it opens this fall when you are a freshman. Well, that was it. Okay, I was sold on Michigan State University. And let me tell you, that was a really, really important component, because not only did I receive theater studies in a classroom, but I was able to work as a union extra in the Wharton Center for the Performing Arts, which means I saw the trucks coming in. I knew how shows toured. I knew the difference between the stagehand union and how it broke down into electricians and carpenters and wardrobe. It gave me hands-on experience of how the Alvin Ailey Ballet Company traveled, how Evita the Musical traveled throughout the country. So when I graduated, I already knew the basics of how show business worked, especially in touring show business, because I worked at that Wharton Center. And I was one of those annoying kids who always knew what he wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to go into technical theater or be a producer or a director. I was never particularly interested in being on the stage. I really liked to create the work and see the work for myself. So stage management was that entree into show business for me. And I got a job in my junior year in, of all places, Grand Rapids, Michigan, where the Joffrey Ballet used to do a summer intensive, a residency, and they would be there all summer long. And they hired local technicians. And happily, I got the job as a stage manager for one summer for the Joffrey Ballet residency in Grand Rapids. Well, I was going into musical theater, so I didn't really know that much about ballet. But when the, once I started doing ballet, I thought to myself, this is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my life. The tutus, the point shoes, the just the beautiful lights and scenery and girls and men. And it was just gorgeous. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to narrow it down because this is fabulous. I really want to do ballet. And what was interesting about doing ballet professionally was it's not language specific. It also met another criteria of travel. That means that I could travel with a ballet company anywhere in the world because it was not language specific. When you do musical theater or you do theater, you're going to go to London. You're going to maybe go with an interpreter to Paris or to Japan. But ballet or like symphony orchestra, you can go anywhere. And I traveled everywhere from Moscow to Africa to China to South America. I was able to travel the world. Some 47 countries, and ballet allowed me to do that. And whilst seeing all of these different places by traveling with one show or another show, I was also seeing local artists that were in those cities. Maybe I was in Helsinki. Well, I saw the Finnish Ballet Company and some of the Finnish theater, you know, productions. And of course, they have an incredible symphony orchestra there. And while we were traveling to Cuba, I could see the ballet company there and I could hear some of the musicians that were performing there. So I began to learn all of these different artists worldwide. Because it's one thing to be a performer where you go to a city and you pretty much see the airport, the hotel, the theater, the hotel, and back to the airport. But as a technician, I had to interact with the locals because I had a show to do and I needed them to set up that show. I needed them to sell tickets to that show. I had to learn the culture in order to work with the folks in Spain. If I wanted our show to be a success in Madrid, I needed all of the technicians and the publicists and marketing folks to really understand our production. And in order for them to work for us, I needed to understand them.
You've got it all. You spend 21 years in the Big Apple, 42nd Avenue, Madison, and then a tree, an experience with a tree, convinces you and your wife, Meg, to bring your sons back. Tell us about that tree.
Well, when I became an impresario, I started selling these world attractions all over the United States. I was importing artists into the United States. So, you know, at the height of World Arts, we would have some 12 tours in the fall, 12 tours in the spring, and I used to sell a lot of those shows and present a lot of those shows here in Detroit. So I was presenting Les Ballets Africains, maybe for the third time, at the Music Hall. But I was also presenting shows at the Opera House and at the DSO and at the Music Hall. Anyway, I would not normally go out with my tours anymore. I would sit behind my desk in New York and send them out. But I would travel to Detroit because I could bring the kids and we could see the family. And the president at that time, we just struck up a conversation. And he said, well, would you ever consider coming back to Detroit? And at the time, I think it was like February of 06, it came out of left field. I didn't think so. So I kind of politely said, no, I don't think so, because my kids are in school in New York. But a couple months later, spring broke, and we were in the park, and my wife and I and the kids had lined up to climb this tree in Riverside Park, and my wife says to me, oh, this is ridiculous. Only in New York do kids line up to climb a tree. And it was kind of a seminal moment because she kind of paused and looked at me and said, why don't you call those folks in Detroit? And I said, really? Are you ready? She's like, yep, I think we're ready. The kids are old enough now. New York is not working for us, not at 9 and 10 years old. It's not working for us. And I got to tell you, I started thinking about my childhood in Michigan. And, you know, theater folks, they often run off with the circus and they have these terrible stories. I did not have terrible stories. My upbringing in Michigan was great. And I thought to myself, yeah, my boys deserve the same upbringing I had. And I had a great one. And that's pretty much when we made the decision to come back to Detroit.
Vince Paul, Southeast Michigan has been the birthplace and the breeding ground for so much world-class musical talent. Why?
Well, I've often looked at that list, and it's an extraordinary list. There are more performing arts legends that have come from the city of Detroit, from our community, than any other community on the planet in history. It's an incredible list. Why? No, it's not in the water. So why? And I have a theory about it, and I really believe in this theory that it has to do with our diversity. It has to do with the fact that we have as much immigration as they have in, say, New York City. But New York City is very much a way station. People arrive in New York City and they figure out where they want to go and they go there. Detroit's a place where you go. You go, you build your house, you put your kids in school, you develop roots into the community. You're there to stay. And next thing you know, your kids go to school and they come home and their best friends are DeLip and Gunter and they're having so much exposure to all of the other immigrants that have arrived here. And this has been going on for more than 100 years. At the turn of the century, it was the Italians, it was the Poles, it was the Germans. These days, you know, we have the second largest Iraqi population outside Iraq. It's the Russians, it's the Germans. Of course, Mexican Town is just booming. So it's the same idea, just a different set of demographics. And the idea is that we learn from each other. Our kids are learning from other kids in school and who they interact with, and it puts a different spin on the things that they already know. That is to say, if you take a Bob Seger and you mix him with a big proof, out pops a Kid Rock. You know, and I can show you the genesis of everyone from Madonna to Smokey Robinson, even other folks from Robin Williams and David Spades and Francis Ford Coppola's. They had influences outside their demographic, their family demographic. So I really have to believe that it's what we learn from each other that we're able to put a new spin, a new innovation is developed through this interaction with other cultures.
We're talking to the impresario, Vince Paul, whose life story reads like a Broadway musical. Midwestern boy dreams of Broadway, makes it in the Big Apple, later realizes what's really important in life, comes back home where he's making a huge difference. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now, back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to the president and artistic director of the Music Hall Center for Performing Arts. And you refer to her as the Grand Old Lady, Vince. Tell us about the Grand Old Lady.
The Music Hall, I know that's what you're talking about. The Music Hall, it's beautiful. It was built by a woman. It was built by Matilda Dodge Wilson. And Matilda is an excellent story in herself, terrific Detroit story, but also a legendary Michigander. She was born across the river, and she came across with her father, and her father owned a saloon called the Dry Dock down by the river. And she went to work for the Dodge brothers. And then this is just after they had sold their shares back to Henry Ford. So the Dodge brothers were really taking off. And she became the secretary to John Dodge. And they ended up starting an amorous relationship, and they got married. And sadly, in 1921, he died. Now, what would happen back in those days is they would have the auto show at the Waldorf Astoria in New York City. And so him and his brother went to New York City and in the winter of 1921, and he contracted the flu, and he actually died in New York City. Well, I'll be darned, about 8 months later, his brother dies, Horace dies. And Matilda kind of woke up like, boop, I'm the richest lady in the world. You know, I mean, literally overnight, or at least in America, she was really one of the wealthiest women. And she was a very exacting person. So she built several really significant things. One, she built Meadowbrook. She built the entire College of Veterinary Science at Michigan State University. And she built the music hall. What's interesting about the music hall is the music hall was the first performing arts, like legitimate performing arts center in America that had open access to everybody. Now, some folks had to come in through the side door and then up into the balcony level, which has now been joined together. But clearly she had a focus on diversity because she built another thing of great significance, and that's Oakland University. And little known fact is Oakland University is also one of the first universities in the United States of America that had open enrollment. So I can look at what she had done with her life and her focus and very much do that today with the music hall. It's about diversity. Since 1928, the music hall has presented more performing arts legends than any theater roster that I can find. And we have looked. We've gone to Carnegie Hall. We've gone to many of the theaters in the United States, and we can't find a list the size of our list. Now, Carnegie may have a few more opera singers, but they don't have a fly loft, so they weren't able to do ballet and circus and theater. And, you know, we've had everyone from Lucille Ball to Cab Calloway. You know, back in the early days, we had Fred Astaire and his sister back in the vaudeville circuit. It was created as a variety performing arts house. Here we are 83 years later, a variety performing arts house. That's very rare in the United States of America. And so I really hope to articulate to the folks of Southeast Michigan, yes, you live close to this place.
If you want to learn more, musichall.org.
Musichall.org. It's a terrific website, and we've tried to lay out that history because it's something that we really all should be proud of. You know, it opened as the Wilson Theater at 342 Madison Avenue, and I think its phone number was Cherry 2110 back in the day.
Vince Paul, you've been around artists and performers for 30-plus years. If you would, tell us about Neil Diamond.
Well, I think everyone should, if they don't, they need to get to the theater. Everyone should have that moment in the theater. If you believe that a performance has an esoteric quality, something beyond, you know, just sitting in the seat. I had one of those moments with a Neil Diamond, and what makes a great artist? Neil Diamond, I think he was performing at Cobo Hall, and well, I was so impressed with how he was able to move 12,000 people. He could take them here with a ballad. He could take them to the highest heights with a strong pop song. He just had them in the palm of his hand, and I was one of them. It's like, I'm all yours. You can take me wherever you want to go. And that's one of the first times I thought to myself, the power of an artist to be able to move masses of people, to really communicate on a deeper level.
Detroit is known as a sports town, Vince Paul. How do you compete against Detroit as a sports town?
I don't want to say Detroit isn't a sports town, but if you're going to use that as a marker, you know, I'll put the cumulative sum of all performing arts attractions outsells the cumulative sum of all sporting events in the state of Michigan 2.5 to 1. So if it's a sports town, I would say with a bullet, number one, it's a performing arts town. We have 18 professional theaters here in Detroit.
Tell us about our Madison Avenue.
Madison Avenue is kind of a trick of the tail. You know, in any great city that's hundreds of years old, it goes through different phases. Well, you know, when they moved, when they built Comerica Park, they moved the Great Gem Theater directly across the street from the music hall. They also did a few other things, like the building of 375 Extension. And through some of the different developments, what ended up happening is that if you come down 75 and you come off the Madison exit, you find yourself with a very little district with 2 stadiums, 7 theaters, and about 40 restaurants, all about 100 yards from each other. By anybody's stretch of the imagination, that's Times Square, Jack. You know, they don't have one of those districts in St. Louis or in Tempe or in Los Angeles or in Dallas where you can come off and within 100 yards of each other, you have opera, you have jazz, you have theater, you have football, and you have baseball, but you also have the Great Fox Theater, the Opera House, you have the Fillmore, you have the City, you've got Hockey Town, you've got all of this abundance of restaurants and performing arts and sports all within 100 yards of each other. That's unusual, and people really embrace that, but I don't think they put the whole thing together the way we do in the district.
We're talking to the impresario, Vince Paul. Vince, paint us a picture of this entertainment district in 10 years.
I believe that if you are a party planner in Seattle, and it's your responsibility to bring 1,000 dentists to a national convention, that if we want to compete by using just those skyline shots of the Renaissance Center, and I love the Renaissance Center too, it doesn't really communicate anything. If you take a picture out my office window looking down on Madison Avenue, and you see all of the people going in and out of the theaters and in and out of the stadiums, that says to that party planner, there's lots of activity for my 1,000 dentists. So I'm happy to bring them to Detroit because there's lots for them to do. In 10 years, I believe that we will be the entertainment capital of the Midwest. You know, I love Chicago and I love Toronto, but they do not have the abundance that we have here in Detroit. And as they build hotels, I think those hotels, I know because I book so many hotel rooms for my artists. I know they're full, and I think we really need to get the message out there that we have so much to offer to the tourist. Now, even if the tourist is from Owosso, you know, it's still not necessarily a focus to have them live there. I believe if we build an interesting district, people will want to live there, and private development will, in fact, make all of those residential units available. But first things first, I think we need to make the district really one of the most vibrant districts in the Midwest of America.
We're talking to a world-class salesman for Detroit and our entertainment district, Vince Paul. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with the impresario, Vince Paul, who wants to make the music hall the theater of the people. Vince, anybody that listens to you talk about Detroit says, wow, this man is a passionate salesman for Detroit. And there's listeners out there thinking, we've been hearing this kind of stuff, these predictions, for 40 years. Vince Paul, why is this time different?
Well, I suppose when we considered leaving New York, I could have been a program director or a president or an artistic director to a performing arts center in I don't know, Los Angeles, or even stayed in New York or Chicago. The reason I think that Detroit was really the place for me was because it was the land of opportunity. A lot of those other towns are pretty much fixed in their ways. Detroit is a blank canvas. I came to Detroit and I thought, wow, I'm in on the ground level to the future. I really believe, and all the people I meet confirm this, that I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I feel in a little way like an architect. Here, you can be an architect for what's going to happen next. There's an openness here for what is going to happen. What do we want to build? How do we want to make it all congeal into one great world capital again? But at the same time, I'm not here to build my grandpa's Detroit or my father's Detroit. I'm here to build my Detroit. And that's really what I want to shout out to everyone is there's an openness here to build your Detroit the way you want to build Detroit, build your future. So now, you know, when I hear about the M1 rail coming down Woodward, I'm like, yes. When I hear of the Department of Transportation putting in wide sidewalks down Madison Avenue with cobblestone pavers that join all of the different venues together, that's what I mean. We can design it. We can build our own Detroit for the next 50 years, for the next 100 years. I think there's an openness to working together. I think that people are getting that our power really lies in our unity. I think what really held people back was conflicts of the past, and everyone kind of ran into their own demographic shell. And that's just not the case anymore. Everybody is getting along with everybody. And that's where we begin to empower each other with our own spin, our own look at the world. And by using the music hall as that community center where anybody can come in and see something that they've never seen before. Hey, listen, I'm very happy for people to go and see the Doobie Brothers for the 15th time at Pine Knob or DTE Energy Music Theater. But really, what do you walk away with? When you come to see Mazowsze, people will say, well, what's a Mazowsze? Believe me, in Hamtramck, they know that's the National Choir of Poland. And it's a big family reunion for a weekend. They are exposed to something they've never seen before. And they walk away with, gee, I really loved those costumes. Gee, I really love that food. Gee, I really like that person I just met. They're learning something. It's a very sticky experience. And the music hall is just the perfect venue located on the corner of Brush and Madison. It's very beautiful, but also people tend to behave there. They tend to have an openness to say hello to the person sitting next to them that they don't do in other places. And that is crucial to Detroit rising again, is us really understanding each other, liking each other, learning from each other, and taking Detroit to a whole new level.
You say we're going to make the music hall the theater of the people. Explain, please.
The music hall has been beautiful for 83 years, but it wasn't necessarily open to everyone. I really viewed the music hall as a place where folks gathered. Yes, we're there to see Mazowsze. Yes, we're there to see Bollywood. But more than that, by being in the hall and seeing new things and talking to new people that you don't necessarily see on a daily basis, everything is a learning experience. When we do our education programs, we tend to skew younger. We tend to go for 0 to 5 because we say from 0 to 5, that's when a child learns things that will influence the way they think all the way to the end for the rest of their lives. When they come to the theater, to the music hall, they tend to mimic what's around them. And what's in that theater experience? Well, there's a lot in that theater experience. You tend to dress up, you queue up, you're relating to the numbers and the letters that are on your ticket, to where you sit, you're relating to what's on the stage, to what's in your program. The whole thing is a learning experience, and it's a big social interaction, and being able to interact socially will serve you for the rest of your life. So the music hall being the theater of the people, or the people's theater, I want it to be your living room. It's no problem to grab the handle of that door and walk into that theater just like you walk into your living room.
Vince Paul, the level of talent and the breadth of talent that you and your teammates are getting international, it's phenomenal. How do you convince them to come to this 80-plus-year-old venue?
Exactly. You know, this is where the venue really helps us in programming, because I can't afford a Lyle Ritchie, Jack. You know, we can't afford to pay retail artist fees for absolutely everything we do. Gee, we do almost 300 events. The artists, they have to want to play the music hall. And they talk amongst themselves. They know each other. And when they think of Detroit, they go, you know, there's that music hall there. And they're like, yeah, tell me about that. We tend to say music hall is more famous in Tempe than it is in Novi, because it really does have a national renown. Every artist would really love to perform in a venue where they're appreciated, where their talent can shine. In terms of a performance space, nothing beats that good old-fashioned performing proscenium arch opening where we have 1,701 seats. They're right there. It's very close. The apron of the stage is only 70 feet from the last row, so you really feel the performer is right in front of you. And vice versa, the performer also believes the audience is right there in his living room. So it really takes a performer, it takes their performance to a higher height to perform on the same stage as Ray Charles and Billie Holiday. And it's amazing that those performances still live. It's in the seats. It's in the walls. What is taking place there? Everyone you can imagine has performed at the Music Hall. It's a book that's 3 inches thick of every date of every performer that's been there.
Vince Paul, you've been blessed in many ways. One of which is great enthusiasm. That's a Greek word meaning to be inspired by God. How do I get enthusiasm in my life?
Use your intellect. How about that? Remove that prejudiced mind. And if you use your intellect, it will always steer you towards enthusiasm. It's positivity. It's in your interest to be enthusiastic. It's productive.
Last question as our time winds down together, Vince. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Oh, take ownership in your city. Absolutely. It's your city. You earned it. You grew up here. When I first arrived, I went back to North Farmington High School, and Rick Jones developed a terrific program where he named the hallways of the school based on the names of the Great Detroit streets like Woodward. So the main drag was Woodward, and then Michigan went off to the left, and Gratiot went off to the right, and he named the gymnasium Ford Field, and he named the orchestra area the Music Hall. That was really intelligent. If you grew up in Southeast Michigan, you have ownership in your city. It's your city. And I would say come down and take advantage of your city. Sure, move in if you like, but at the very least, you know, open an office, go see shows, go to the restaurants, go to the bars, intermingle with everybody. You're going to meet people that outside your neighborhood, and you can only learn from them.
Vince Paul, Mr. Impresario, thanks a million for coming back home and helping us believe in a great future. God bless.
Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. It's ball.
Believe in yourself.